KUNC. This is Colorado Edition. I'm Erin O'Toole. Happy Colorado Day. We've been away for a few weeks, but I promise we haven't just been lounging by the pool. We've been hard at work putting together a brand new show. Before we get into what it's all about, let me introduce the two new members of the Colorado Edition team. First, Lily Tyson joins us as producer.
Hi, Erin.
Hey. And Henry Zimmerman is our new producer and co-host.
Howdy.
So let's talk about what's going to be different with the new show.
Yeah, so first of all, rather than being a weekly podcast, Colorado Edition will now come to you 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday.
That's right. Now, the show will launch first as a podcast starting on August 12th, and then starting on Labor Day, September 2nd, Colorado Edition will be heard on KUNC at 6:30 p.m., right after All Things Considered.
Right, and here's what you can expect. You're going to get the same great in-depth coverage from important issues around the state, something you can expect from the KUNC newsroom, something you expect from us, too. You're also going to hear author interviews, advice about life in Colorado, and it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. We will also do our best to answer your questions about anything at all you're curious about, anything at all. You can hit us up on curiouscolorado@kunc.org. Since we're on the subject, Lily, Henry, do you have any questions or anything about Colorado?
Yes, so many questions.
Yeah, I have a ton. But why don't we start with this? It's Colorado Day. Mm-hmm. What's the deal?
That's fair. August 1st is Colorado Day. That's the day back in 1876 that President Ulysses S. Grant signed a proclamation admitting Colorado as the 38th state in the Union.
Oh, that makes sense. So it's like a celebration of statehood.
Basically, that's it. Also, in case you've been wondering why Colorado is called the Centennial State, that's because when Colorado entered the Union, the U.S. was celebrating its 100th anniversary.
Oh, nice. Okay, so this is like the perfect day to announce the new Colorado edition then.
I mean, basically, yeah.
Great. So why don't we listen to a piece that's about Colorado?
Why don't we? How about a story about the Colorado River? It wasn't always named that. In fact, the upper reaches of the river were actually known as the Grand River until 1921. That is where Grand Junction and Grand County got their names. And beyond that, I really don't know how it eventually became the Colorado River. Luckily for all of us, some time ago, our own Luke Runyon did some digging into that history. Here's what he found.
As a boy, Joseph Taylor III and his family would pile into a station wagon for long summer road trips. They visited some pretty desolate stretches of the Mountain West, and during one trip, he remembers the car rumbling across cattle grates.
Out onto BLM land, followed by my mother waving her arms and saying, "Your great-grandfather created all this."
Taylor and his brothers would groan from the back seat. They'd already heard all the stories of their great-grandfather, turn-of-the-century Democratic Colorado Congressman Edward Taylor. It wasn't until Joseph Taylor got into Western history in college that he had to reckon with the fact that
one of my relatives showed up in every single historical study of the American West, and especially all the textbooks.
Taylor is now a professor of American history at Simon Fraser University in British Columbia, Canada. While his great-grandfather is probably best known for his grazing legislation, he was also a champion of West Slope water.
His priority is development, but first and foremost the West Slope, second Colorado, and third the West.
Before 1921, the Colorado River actually started in Utah, in the present-day Canyonlands National Park. That's where Wyoming's Green River and the Grand River, which started in Colorado's Rocky Mountain National Park, met.
It seems to have rankled a fair number of people on the West Slope of Colorado, where the Colorado River headwaters were, that they had a name that really didn't resonate with the state.
And so he took on the river's renaming as a personal crusade in Washington, D.C.
He was known from time to time to get up on the floor and make glowing 5 to 10 minute speeches about his adored state.
And his speech to rename the Grand River as the Colorado fits in that same mold. The Library of Congress still has a copy of it on file. And from start to finish, it's an over-the-top pitch to his fellow lawmakers. I had Joseph Taylor read one of the best passages about the river and the Grand Canyon.
It is a weird, fascinating, moving, imperial tragedy of nature. It certainly is the waterway of the gods, and that canyon is the titan of chasms, incomparably the greatest abyss on earth.
I think the technical phrase for that form of rhetoric is pulling out the stops.
Patty Limerick is the Colorado State historian based at the Center for the American West in Boulder.
When Edward Taylor talks about the appeal of the Colorado River to Americans and why Americans should go see it. It's not just saying, well, it's kind of pretty. It's really on the borders of civic religion.
But to fully appreciate the efforts of Edward Taylor, you have to know what was going on in Colorado at that time. The western half of the state was stuck in a series of boom and bust cycles. Mines were struggling, and so were farms. In this resource-heavy economy, some started wondering if Colorado's natural wonders might be better suited left in place for tourists.
That recognition that there might be a whole other form of prosperity that comes from people coming to look at things in a state that is really quite a show-off state when it comes to landscape.
And so that's part of what Edward Taylor brought with him to Congress. At the time, he was the West Slope's biggest booster. As he wrapped up his final remarks to get the Grand River renamed the Colorado, he drew on pop culture of the 1920s to help drive his point home. Again, here's his great-grandson, Joseph E. Taylor III, reading his words.
There's a very popular, beautiful, and famous song, which I hope you will have heard, entitled "Where the Silvery Colorado Wends Its Way." And I hope you gentlemen will help me wend the silvery Colorado's way into the grand state that bears its name.
For the sunlight plays no more from my cheerless cabin door, where the silvery Colorado wends its way.
For KUNC, I'm Luke Runyon.
And on that note, if you have any questions about life in Colorado, anything at all, anything you'd like us to explore, just let us know.
Yeah, you can email us at coloradoedition@kunc.org.
And don't forget, listen wherever you get your podcast starting August 12th and tune into KUNC Monday, September 2nd at 6:30 p.m. for Colorado Edition.